Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hey, AfterBuzz TV Shrill fans. We are back, and we have so much to cover. What about Lamar? Is he a rebound or not? What about those bodacious bodies at the pool party? And also, why is everyone calling Annie selfish? And we also have a new guest. We have a new host here, Miss Nikki Baby. All of that and so much more when we come back.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, AfterBuzz TV Shrill fans, we are back. This is our final episode. We hate to go, oh my gosh, but we are going out with a bang because we have a new host. Her name is Miss Nikki Bailey.
Hey, hi.
Yes, indeed. And she is here. She is full of so much knowledge and insight and so much news and gossip, but that'll be later on in the show. Before we get going, let's talk about these other beautiful ladies. We have Miss Janine Doyon in the building. We have Miss Yasmin Terrence in the building. And they are just going to jump right into it with me. You ladies ready?
Let's do this.
Okay.
Yes, well. Angel.
Yes, and me, Angel. I will be your moderator today. And let's get right into it, guys, because I have so much to cover. Episodes 4 through 6. The first episode was called Pool. The second one, well, the fourth one is called Pool. The fifth one's called Article. And the last one's called Troll. So let's get into it. Was Lamar a rebound, or do you think there was something really there?
There was definitely something there. They were way too cute. They had way too much history. He even had the playlist down. It was so precious. Definitely not a rebound. I think season two, he'll be back.
Oh, yeah.
There's a season two?
There is.
I hope there's
a
season two.
There has to be, yes. I definitely, like, I mean, I should save it for predictions, but I don't think he is a rebound whatsoever.
Mm.
They had just such cute moments. They've known each other from, like, such a tender age, and he's always been there for her, in a sense, even if there's that distance physically, but there's that emotional connection there.
Right, what do you think, Nikki?
I agree. I do not think it's a rebound. I just don't think that Annie is ready for him yet. I think she
That's
has
fair.
Some growing to do before she's really ready to take on the realness of the relationship with Lamar. He is so fine. We have to see him again. So I am trusting that he's coming back.
Absolutely. Yeah. There was so much talk last episode about how to describe voluptuous women, bodacious bodies. Can you give us some insight on what feels right to you?
Sure. I am very interested and supportive of the fat activism community all around the world. And the word fat is what we use. And we do it because we want to take the sting out of the word. So calling a woman fat is like the worst thing you can say to her, right? Like, if you want to hurt a woman, call her fat.
It cuts right to the bone, right?
And so for women who are fat and who are a part of this movement to sort of be like, hey, we're here, pay attention, and we're fabulous,
right?
Taking the sting out of the word fat and just remembering it's just a descriptive. Tall, short, skinny, fat. It's just a descriptive word. And it doesn't have to have all of the shame and embarrassment connected to it that our culture says it should.
I love that.
Yeah. I love that too. Janine and Yasmin, tell me, what do you guys use as descriptors for women with larger bodies?
I love that you asked this question because my mom always probes me on this. The way that I say it, I don't know why. Okay, I don't call anybody fat. There's different terms that I use depending, I guess, and I don't know if it's correct of me to do so, but I will say, like, depending if it's like plum or what's the other word that I use?
You say plump?
Plum, yeah, but plump or voluptuous.
Oh,
or
plump.
Yes.
Okay.
Not
I plump.
You
were talking about
no, I don't say plump. Plump. Sorry. Plump
we're
or voluptuous.
Fruit.
So
there's pear-shaped and plum-shaped now. Got it.
I had an uncle who used to call me pleasingly plump.
Ah.
Pleasingly plump, which...
See? What did you think about that?
When I was a kid, I liked it because it was so easy for, like, other kids to call me fat. And, you know, and I obviously had a lot of shame about it. Now, looking back, I'm like, pleasingly plump does sound like something you'd say about fruit.
I heard of pleasantly plump.
I think it's very endearing.
What are you pleasing, Uncle?
Right? It's a little ooey. It's a little gross, right?
What about you, Janine?
I probably would, if I'm trying to be really careful, say something like a bigger woman or a larger man, and sort of, I don't know, brush over it a little bit. But I love the idea of taking back that word as a community. Mm-hmm. I think that's amazing. I'm so on board with that. And so if that's all right with you, we'll use that word.
Yeah, I think we should. I think that that's what Adie and Lindy would use if they were talking about the show. I think that Annie is probably going to eventually learn to use the word. In fact, in one of the episodes that we're going to talk about, she does actually mm-hmm. say, use the word. Yes. So I think we should use it.
Okay. Well, let's get into this pool party on a lighter note, ladies. So I saw, like, the most exhilarating experience. I mean, I wish I was there. I wanted to be there. And I have curves that would merit me being there. Hello, mother of two. So I had so much fun just watching it and just feeling that empowerment that she felt. Like, I saw the transition. I'm shame. I'm covered, you know. And then I saw her observing and appreciating and almost like not envying, but like, gosh, look at her confidence. You know, she was projecting their behavior later, like way later on as the pool party went by, she began to unclothe herself and just be in her own skin and be confident and loving who she was. And she had the time of her life. Fran obviously did too.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you feel about the pool party? Like, what type of experience did you have with that scene?
Oh, I loved the pool party. Those kinds of parties, those like fat pool parties, are happening all around the country, all around the world, and have been going on since like the 70s. And it's an opportunity for women who are not in like straight sizes to like get to wear bikinis and all kinds of stuff in an environment that's safe, you know, because I've actually had people on the beach call me a whale. Like, I've had people say terrible things to me, and it makes you not want to have your arms out or not want to have your thighs show. So for me to watch that and to see like all these big, beautiful bodies mm-hmm. on live streaming on a show on Hulu was like heaven to me. It was beautiful to see all the jiggling and shaking and the bikinis and
my
the
favorite
fabulousness.
Scene. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
My
loved
favorite
it.
Scene was her swimming through that sea of legs
mm-hmm.
and bodies. I was just like, I am here for it because I jiggle and I love my jiggle and my man loves my jiggle. And that's all that matters, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what about you, Janine?
So I thought, first of all, every swimsuit that was shown was the cutest swimsuit. They all win the title.
Yes.
And the fact that, I mean, there were a lot of swimsuits that I personally would not have the confidence to carry off very well. And every single woman there had such confidence and was so empowered that I felt like it sort of resonated with me. Like, it's rubbing off on me. Like, yes, I'm going to go to the beach next, and I'm going to wear that bikini that I bought and never had the courage to wear.
Get it, girl.
And, yeah, so I loved that scene. I loved the transformation of Annie's character, too. I thought her showing up in the jeans. I mean, we've all been there a little unsure of what we're getting into by the mm-hmm. end, like stripping it off, jumping in. And I thought that there were a lot of really poignant moments that sort of punctuated along the line, like her going to the buffet, having a little piece of fruit and
mm-hmm.
trying to suss everything out, and then finally, you know, working up the nerve to get a margarita. I thought that the transformation was probably the best part.
It was that margarita.
The swimsuit. It was the margarita.
It was also just being in safe space and knowing that she was not going to get, no one was going to comment on the fact that she ate from the buffet, mm-hmm. and no one was going to comment on how she looked in her swimsuit. They were just going to celebrate her. Like, that's power to me.
And that's what it's about.
Totally agree. I mean, that was like my ultimate favorite scene of the entire show.
Yeah.
Like I was saying earlier on, it truly inspired me and it just made me think, like, why can't all women, because I myself, like, I do as well go to the pool or beach and I'm thinking, like, what bikini should I wear, like, depending on who I'm with, and I will try out a new bikini just with my close group of friends because that's how I will feel, like, does this look good on me or not. And ultimately it's like, hey, all bodies and people, we're all coming in different sizes and shapes and forms, we should just flaunt what we have and be proud of it. And that's what that scene really instilled. And like you said, Annie's arc of, like, being really shy and reserved and then finally coming through and just breaking through and flaunting it all, and just, it's amazing. Like, we are attracted to the most confident people, right? That's mm-hmm. what you want to, like, get that as well. And you know, one thing that makes me so mad of what you mentioned, Nikki, of, like, what I feel is, like, we don't, like, when somebody called you a whale on the beach, like, that makes me so mad because I feel like women don't say that to men, or you don't hear that as much. And it's like, men who are bigger don't get, like, so much backlash, and we women are fed, and this is mentioned in the series as well, in these last three episodes, of all these ads and take this tea and, like, poop it all out and, like, you know, all this stuff that is just thrusted upon women. And I remember one of my friends saying, like, and he's a guy, like, oh, a belly is a sign of status. And it's just like, yeah, you think that for men, but why is that not for women? Or what do you mean by that? You know, like, I'm just mad at how women are stigmatized for, like, their different sizes and whatever.
Yeah. Yes. It's never fair. So let's talk about this forced fun activity. But before we do, I think Yasmin has something to share with our viewers.
Yes. Hello, AfterBuzzers. Sorry, I just went on this complete rant. But this is what we love to do, right? So we really appreciate your support and that you tune in, whether you are loyal AfterBuzzers or newbies or, like, you know, bits and bits of these shows that you watch. But do subscribe to our YouTube channels. We really appreciate it, as we do need your help to grow and support and still be a community here talking about all the different shows and films and get guests in as well. So hit that subscribe button as well as a thumbs up or 5-star ratings on iTunes. Feel free to comment at any time as well. If you're in the live chat, do have a conversation with us because we do love to get your perspective and we shout you out as well. And when you do leave a comment, we always respond because we like to see what your perspective is. Like, it's very interesting because sometimes we miss something out, right? So thank you again for allowing us to be the ESPN for TV Talks, and it's really meant so much to us. So thank you for all your support, and don't forget to tell your friends and share all our content.
Absolutely. We really appreciate you guys, especially the ones that are tuning in on live chat, the ones listening on iTunes, all of you guys, even if you come back and watch the show later, like, we really appreciate your feedback and we're always checking for your comments. So thank you so much for taking the time out to do that. Okay, ladies, forced fun, eh? Okay, so first of all, I have a certain feeling about Gabe that won't let me speak, like, openly. He's such a cancer to this entire show for me. He's so cancerous. He reminds me of several different people in my life, and it's like my stomach turns when I see his face, especially when he was in the car singing with his yellow teeth. But anyway, I digress.
Thanks for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. If you didn't know, we do over 100 different after shows a week for your favorite TV series. We do it in podcast and video form, and it's never been easier to start your own podcast to get in with us and talk about the things you love. If you've ever thought about it, go to anchor.fm/start to start your own podcast. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. Now, Anchor can match you with sponsors who want to advertise on your show and get you paid right away. Doing over 100 shows a week, it makes it so much easier to be able to cut out things that we want to cut out and insert things that we want to insert to make the show the quality that you, the fans, deserve. So, if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start. That's anchor.fm/start to join us and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. I can't wait to hear it.
Okay, if you guys had to do a work activity and it was mandatory, and you were going through the experience that Annie went through, where she was having a time of her life and she actually had like this euphoric moment in the pool. Like, oh my God, I'm around everyone and I'm in the pool for the first time in public, right? Would you have stopped that experience, stopped having that moment to run off to your forced fun work activity, or would you did what she did and completed your fun and went to work afterwards?
Or would
you not go to work at all?
I think it depends on where I am in my like life journey and my level of maturity. Because I think a couple of years ago, I would have done what she did, which was drop this life-changing moment to please this complete jerk of a boss. But I think now I hope at least that I would recognize what a special environment that I was in and just call in sick.
Yes.
Right? Because that's okay. For mental health and for moments of growth,
Amen.
It is okay to call in sick.
Mental health day, mental all health. The way. Yeah.
I love that.
I don't know. I think I would have felt so bad to have missed the forced work thing, which ultimately shouldn't. It's not part of work. It's just like, it is a bonding session. I guess it is important to bond, actually. I would have tried to do both. I know I would have set an alarm to be like, going, you have to go to this thing next, and try to not miss anything. But I love what you have just said, because ultimately she found her space and mm-hmm. she was trying to find a story in there as well, which probably would have been a really interesting story if she would have written something about that.
If Gabe would have let her,
yeah.
He shot her down as soon as she
Yeah,
said
that's what
that.
Makes me mad.
Yeah, I first of all, you going to have me come to work on a Saturday?
Let's talk about it.
You best be paying me for that. That's the first
Extra
thing.
Extra time.
Extra time. I want some OT, okay? Secondly, what was it, like a 10, 20-mile bike ride?
It was a 10-mile bike.
Okay, I had a former employer who encouraged us to do the Live Strong Challenge, which is a bike ride. I did 20 miles, but it was not mandatory. Oh. But here's the thing. If you want me to do that...
Pay me.
Where is the paper, people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a lot, and I think that character, Gabe, is like, so the show is based on the book by Lindy West, and the character of Gabe is actually, I think, I'm not going to speak for Lindy, but I think he's supposed to be based on Dan Savage, who was the editor-in-chief of, The Stranger, I think is what Lindy used to work for, and she writes about, like, he's kind of a pill, like,
That's
he was
very
a lot.
Smart.
So I'm looking forward to seeing if we get to find out more, or if there's any positiveness that comes from that relationship later.
Mm. Honestly, she has a very good lawsuit against him for discrimination, for harassment.
The cheese thighs
hardcore.
Comment,
right?
All of it.
Yeah.
And my hope with this show moving forward in the next season is this is really addressed, and that because this stuff happens all the time. I used to have a boss, I was a little chubby, but not to the point where I was getting grilled every single day about my gym habits and whether I went the night before. It mm-hmm. was so demoralizing, and I wish that I had been told to stop being polite, to stand up for myself, and what those procedures are in place with things like HR, even if it gets to the point of having to get legal counsel, what are those things? Let's empower people to know how to address those difficult situations with that sort of really dehumanizing behavior, mm-hmm. and I really hope that moving forward this show addresses that, because I think they have a really good platform for it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, yeah. Talk about it.
Yeah.
I think it would be such a miss if they don't hit on it, like, from a law perspective. Like, because it's basically silencing everyone who goes through that. It's like, well, they're looking to this show to see what to do. And if Annie doesn't do anything about it, come on, season two. Let her do something. Then it'll silence everyone or think that that's the way to go, is to just be quiet about this.
Or have to leave.
Yeah.
Or
quit. You have to leave.
So
yeah.
Bad that you can no longer work there or produce content for them anymore. That's not how it should be.
And then he wins. And I want to see Annie win.
Yeah.
Can I just throw out there, sorry if I'm butchering your name, Ladisha. She says, yes, you did, Nikki. Not sure what. But There are no laws in most states that protect fat people from discrimination.
I bet if you brought it to court, there might not be an explicit rule against weight commentary from employers, but I'm guessing you bring a transcript of what Gabe said, I feel like that could
and
be
probably not just get, yeah, but a reflection of reality of what probably goes on. Yes,
I happen to know who that poster is, and her name is Kathy Deitch. She's an amazing fat activist.
Deitch. Okay,
and
sorry, Kathy. Hi, Kathy. Thank you so much.
She's
for timing
a good friend
in.
Of mine, but also a really she's extremely knowledgeable about these things. And so, if she says there's no law protecting fat people, I believe her. But what I do love about this and Annie's journey is, you ever hear the expression, you have to teach people how to treat you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what I love is that we get to see Annie taking opportunities to teach people how to treat her. And so she taught Gabe, it's not okay for you to speak to me this way, to behave in this fashion.
Yes.
I wish she hadn't quit. I wish she had stayed. And found a way to check him within that system. Mm-hmm. But I also love that she did what she needed to do to remove herself from a hostile work environment.
Listen, he's going to be calling to her because he knows what a profound impact she's having. And, I mean, her articles were the top two and the top three.
Exactly.
And that speaks volumes. It's like, it doesn't matter. This should not matter. It's whatever she puts on into the work. And so I'm kind of proud that she did leave that job because he's going to realize, like, wow, what a loss I've just
had.
So Annie goes into this rant about how she feels about people like silencing her and making her feel less than because of her size. And she targets her mom, not in a bad way, but in a way that says, Mom, you really hurt me. And she also targets Gabe, which she should have. So this article is the catalyst of her becoming more assertive and more empowered as a woman that has curves in fat, as Nikki likes to say. So why can't the world just catch on with her wave? Like, this is my truth, okay? So I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, but you hurt mine. And why is everyone calling her selfish? That's what I wanted to get down to. Why is she selfish for telling her truth?
I think you have to have a little bit of self-possession in order to have some sort of reflection and then growth. There has to be some sort of inward focus. And if that comes across as selfish, then it comes across as selfish. But it's necessary for us all to sort of grow. I do think that there were various degrees of this in episodes 4 through 6.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that she was really being a good friend with Fran. I felt like she was not, there wasn't much reciprocity with the two of them. I don't blame Fran for being upset with her. I did think, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that it's going to be a change. There's a growth period. There's going to be a coming to terms with it, but I do think that she wasn't necessarily being the best friend or support system for those who have been there for her, too.
Yeah, I think this ultimately just showcases, too, when people get so absorbed with themselves, their issues, and, like, the things that put them down so much, and then the people that are there to support them. Like, if you just start to just think about your own issues and not be able to, like, see your friend and, like, Fran, or even Amadi, I felt so sorry for him when she completely blanked out on Amadi and the horse show that she was supposed to attend, and then expect him to, like, leave work when she had just quit and then go on a troll hunt. Like, I get it, but it was just like, you know, do consider as well other people who have as well their things that are happening. As Amadi mentioned, I've also got a family and people to support, and I'm here, but this is so much I could do right now, and I will help you again when I can. But, like, I think that was the purpose of showing or showcasing her selfishness of, like, being too much absorbed within herself.
See, now I think that part of the process of sort of becoming an empowered person and a fully actualized person is that you do have to sort of figure out when is it about me, and that it gets to be about me sometimes.
Amen.
And so I think that Annie is figuring that out. She's like discovering how to be her whole authentic self, how to claim every part of herself. And in the process, maybe she is a little bit selfish, but it's sort of a necessary growing pain. And what I loved is that Fran seemed to get that, because Fran said, you know, Annie's going through something and she's being a little selfish right now, but I would die for her, you know? So like, I think that folks get it. I think it's okay. And I think that like the people who love her have showed her like, look, you're being a little self-centered right now, but I'm still going to be your homie. Like Amadi's still her friend, you know, and Fran is still her friend. They just...
Her parents will always be her parents.
Yeah, and they just needed to call her out on like that moment. But I also think that moment was okay, that she... It's okay for her to be a little about Annie.
Mm-hmm. I think it was Fran's fault, and she should have stepped in. I thought it was selfish of Fran to, number one, drop the bag, which dropped the mushroom pills. Why do I have to stay here with the dog when that was on you? Mm-hmm. Those are your pills. You dropped the bag, which allowed the dog to eat it, and you have a hair thing. I have to go to work, too. So I thought that was selfish of Fran to expect her to stay there with the dog.
Yeah.
And then get mad because Ryan's there to save the day.
Right.
So you
even
can
though
go
they
take
had
care
the
of
no
your
Ryan
business.
Policy, which I love.
Don't get me started about Ryan.
Okay.
My feelings have
then.
Not.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go, Janine.
Can you want to hear my feelings?
Let's
about
go.
Ryan.
Let's give it to Ryan. Let's hear it.
Ryan. The fact it was incredibly disappointing to me that she got back together with him and that it was not called off by before the season ended. It's incredibly disappointing because she is becoming more empowered. She is learning her self-value. Why would she go from like the gold standard of hot men who treat her nicely and make her spaghetti and have all of these amazing inside jokes and loves her for her to this guy who only figures out that he kind of likes her because she hooks up with someone else?
That part.
Wow.
It undermines the empowering part of this journey that she is still with him. And I hope in season two, listen, guys. Writers, if you're listening, please, let's bring Lamar back.
Oh, my God.
Get rid of Ryan.
Please. But that's why, you know, it's like one love kills another. And Lamar just isn't there because they would blatantly be together. I mean, she was all like, gee, when they got into the bed together, you know?
She felt bad after she smashed with Lamar. Like, she felt incredibly, like, guilty about it.
Like, she cheated on Ryan or
something. Because she had been seeing him consistently beforehand.
So, but there's no label. He made that clear.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed you who he's smashing, so it's like, come on.
So, like, for me, though, here's what I think is so cool about the Ryan situation. I have had Ryans. Mm. Maybe we all have had Ryans.
Yeah,
we have all had
Ryans.
Ryans in our lives, right?
Mm-hmm. We
and
got
I,
Ryan'd.
We all got Ryan'd. I love that.
Is it the
hashtag Ryan? We got
Ryan. Ted Kaczynski? Isn't that how they referred to him in, like, episode two? He's the hipster Ted Kaczynski.
He really is, right?
He is. All right, we've all had
So we've all had a Ryan, right? We've all had, like, a trash... like, sort of wannabe boyfriend, but not sure what he is kind
not
of
sure
situation.
What he wants.
Right. And I think the thing that's really interesting about, like, that adds this sort of extra element with Annie's situation is that she felt that because she was a fat woman, she couldn't find someone else, right? So she had to make things work with Ryan.
She settled.
And because she spent so much time trying to make it work, I get why she doesn't want to just drop it and walk away. But Annie... Ryan is trash, girl. Trash. Trash.
Yeah, looks like it.
Looks like it, right? And you know he don't smell good.
No.
You know?
He don't even have a car. Like,
he's a little puppy. He's like such a little fluffy puppy. Like,
he
needs to grow into a man wolf.
He's a puppy that got sprayed by a skunk. You just gotta go hose them down.
He is the definition of a scrub. Right?
Yes.
Like, he is... TLC wrote that song for Ryan.
For him.
It was like a prophecy of, like, the Ryan to come.
Riding around his best friend's ride.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That is
That's
so
Ryan.
True.
Trying to holler at Annie. All cute and happy Annie.
And all of a sudden upset Ryan. Because she found someone else. Oh, I'm sorry.
Ew.
Let's go back to the pencil fight episode.
Oh, girl. Girl.
Oh, my gosh.
But he's trying, which is strange as well. It's like he really is there for her.
I
he's
do
the one
see
who
him
is
trying.
There for her.
Janine.
Yeah.
He's trying,
no,
but
he's
it's
trying.
Not good enough. It's still not good enough.
My patience is up with these boys.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
these boys, right?
Like,
not me.
Boys.
No, not
a man.
Catch myself.
He still needs to obviously, like, step up his game. He needs to get a proper job. He needs to get his own car and... You know, she's realizing it as well. Like,
if you're there to take care of a dog that is, like, potentially having a medical situation, I would not recommend taking drugs. That's kind of like what happens if the dog dies. You're going to feel kind of like a bad person about that. You should.
I love the way he empathizes with the dog. He's like, well, if you're going to get this amount of high, then let me measure
it up. That's what I wanted to bring up.
Right there with you. Go be high together. Let's experience this together, because it's not right to just let you be high by yourself.
He's such an empathetic guy.
He treats the dog better than he treats Annie.
He does. He really does.
Actually, that's a point.
It's true. And I think Annie having the experience with Lamar, though. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed something.
Oh,
it's
no.
Bonkers.
It is bonkers.
Play on words.
Nice.
Thanks. This is bonkers.
Yeah. But I think that Annie, like, having had the experience with Lamar, because she took the advice of Ahmad. Is that his name? Ahmadi's wife?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, he took her advice. She took her advice. And
her mom's.
Yeah. And, like, got out there and diversified a little bit. I think that Annie has seen that there is better stuff out there, and she will aim higher in the future, I hope.
I want her and Lamar to eat more pasta together.
Oh my gosh.
Yes,
this girl has pasta.
It looked good. Have you had homemade?
Yes, I have, and it's very good. It's very good.
And there is nothing like having a partner who cooks something for you. Like,
yes.
That was for me, when Ryan gave her the grilled cheese, that was slightly redeeming. It didn't fix anything, but it was like, yeah, I get it, girl.
Listen, grilled cheese is delicious, so yeah,
and
I can be on board with that.
It's just funny to see both of their relationships, because with Lamar, it was just so fluid, it seemed so easy, it seemed so natural, whereas with Ryan, it just seems a little bit like it's a learning curve,
mm-hmm.
and there's stages, and they're just not matching, there's just no flow.
That is so true, agreed. I just can't wait.
So,
till season
what
two.
About Ryan is so endearing to you? Because you've been a big defender of him.
I haven't been a defender, but I definitely see, like, I have to give credit when credit is due. The fact that he did come over to kind of save the day so she can carry on with her day. And then also, like, I do see him trying. He's not wrapped too tight. His elevator doesn't go to the top floor. And so I give him a little bit more, you know, tolerance for that. And, I mean, the way that he has an affection for animals, that kind of touched me. Mm-hmm. And then, like, how he didn't get snippy with Fran when she's like, okay, no Ryan rule, you leave. He's so dingy. He didn't even catch the
right.
no
That's
Ryan
Right, that's just
because
he was stupid.
I know. But, you know.
Straight up.
God saves babies and idiots, right? So we just got to let him have that. That's and that's my take on Ryan. If anybody's in the chat and you empathize with Ryan, let us know in the comments.
Bless Ryan's little heart. Little precious Ryan. Aww.
Even though,
little
no,
baby.
No, he does not deserve Annie at all. He doesn't deserve Annie. Let's just put that out there. So, let's clear the air
Alonzo
with that.
Alonzo says that he is still not a good guy. He's just there for the sex. Agreed. I agree, yeah, Alonzo. Yeah.
But
I'm
he
on
can
your side
have sex with Pencil Girl.
If
I think he
Marley,
really likes her.
Well, you're right. I do think he likes her. I do think, though.
He's like, we're boyfriend and girlfriend, right?
I do think he likes her. But I do think that there is this phenomenon that men experience where they have, it requires courage on their part to date a fat woman publicly. There have been tons of articles written about this that there are men who are into women of size, but because it's so culturally taboo to be fat and to like fat, that they try to keep it secret. So I think Ryan is having his own little journey of, like, body positivity as well. I just think he's too slow about it.
Yeah.
And by the time he catches up, and he'd be done, you know, like settle down with Lamar, and they have some beautiful little, you know, caramel color babies.
Aww. Can I? That would be so cute.
That would be adorable. Okay, so before we get into news and gossip, guys, we need to address how Annie handled her troll. Who wants to start us off? Yasmin, let's troll
okay,
talk.
Okay, troll talk. This was too funny to watch and really ridiculous. But ultimately, you know, it sometimes is like when you read comments like that, and especially someone who's that bashful and hateful. I mean, I'm glad they were able to track him down. It was a weird situation when she did come face to face to him, and I almost wanted her to go inside and for them to talk. And well, because he has issues. He has some latent unresolved issues and is so jealous of her for the way that she's able to voice her opinion and stand out, whereas he clearly didn't, and he's kind of faulting her for it.
Signs of a serial killer. Come on, Janine. So, reel us back in.
Serial killer is exactly, you took the words right out of my mouth. I felt the same. I sort of wanted them to continue the dialogue and to really have this moment of clarity on his end. But the minute that he started mooing at her, I'm like,
that was shameful.
I know. He shot himself
in the foot. I take it back.
If they were going anywhere. But it was because she was like, no, I'm not coming in. And then that's when he flipped on her, right?
Because he probably was one of these dudes who secretly has a little affection for plump chicks, right? And then she rejects him. So, of course, he has to call her names or whatever.
Oh, the rejection.
But the thing, I actually had a hard time with that scene because I did not buy. Like, women are not going to go, you cannot go stalk your troll. Like, the amount of danger she put herself in
at night.
To go there at night
without a car.
She's only able to run away. Like, that. Like when it went,
run!
I didn't see her footwear, but I'm guessing it wasn't something that would help
her. She probably had them clogs on, you know? For me, I remember, like, when that happened, when we got to that scene, I was like, no, she didn't. Nobody's really going to go find your troll. I also had a hard time with the fact that the troll was so self-aware that he understood that it was about the fact that he himself had been a big kid and that he didn't like himself very much.
Right.
Come on. I feel like if you're self-aware enough to know that about yourself, then you're self-aware enough to probably not be a troll. Like, I'm thinking that trolls are probably, like, and maybe, I don't know. I want to believe that, like, that trolls are people who are not consciously making decisions to be horrible.
Like, with intention.
They do.
I have a troll.
Do you? Oh.
Had a troll. I think AfterBuzz took care of it. But, yeah, like, I've been trolled before, and it's someone that intentionally sets out to harm you, and it's like the troll says, I hate you. What do you hate about me? Do you hate the way I look? You hate the way my voice sounds? You hate my opinions? Turn off.
But do you think the troll is self-aware of himself, like, is aware of himself enough to know why he hates you? Like,
misery loves company.
So true.
Exactly. Yeah. And on that, I feel like it's a cry of attention. Because
it totally is. Yeah. Because that's where people make the most comments, is right under what the troll says. Mm-hmm. Have you guys noticed that when people clap back at each other? It's like all of the positive comments are skipped right over. Mm-hmm. But if someone says something contrary, that's when you get the comments and then the memes, the GIFs, like everything comes out of the negativity.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a content creator and a journalist, I have been told repeatedly to stop reading the comments because I almost feel like it's emotional cutting. I'm like, I'm seeking out what I know is inevitably going to be just complete nonsense and rudeness. I do feel like if I fight through that enough, I tend to get a couple of gold nugget comments that sort of makes it all worth it.
Yeah. And you can turn that situation and perspective around then, you know, it's just a matter of putting it into perspective then.
Absolutely. So let's get ready for news and gossip. Woo!
AfterBuzz TV News.
Come on, Janine.
I'm doing it today.
All right.
Okay, so here's the tea, okay? So you guys might not know this, but right now on Twitter and Instagram, there is this really huge argument going on in the fat activist community about the pool party episode. So there is this whole thing that some people are saying that they stole the idea about the pool party from the writing of another blogger and journalist. Her name's Virgie Tovar. And so people are like, they stole that from Virgie. But then Lindy West, who is the author of the book Shrill and one of the executive producers of the show, she went on Instagram and she said, hey, look, we have been, like, interested in these parties for years. These parties have been happening all over the world. We really didn't steal it from you. We've been working on this for so long. love you, be well. So there's this whole like back and forth going on about like, did anyone steal it?
Right.
Me personally, I'm like, why are we arguing over this when like, let's use this as an opportunity to like go out there and be like, you know what? Maybe we need another show that features a fat cast. Maybe we need another show about the stories of people of size.
Absolutely.
And like, let's like not cat, like, you know, cat fight amongst ourselves over it. Let's use this to sort of say, you see, we just need more of these stories out there. We need more of this opportunity to hear about these things. So,
Thank you so much, Nikki, with the tea.
Yep.
Let's get right into predictions. So we'll start with you, Yasmin. What are you predicting for season
just
two?
Just a very quick one. I do believe Lamar is going to come back and they will get together. That's my quick prediction right there.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be some interesting growth and work with her mother. I want to see, I know we left off with her going to Vancouver. I want to see how that sort of all comes back together and how this family heals from some of this exposure.
That was a good one, right?
Yeah.
I am looking forward to seeing Annie. Now, I read the book, Shrill, so I do kind of feel like maybe I know a little bit.
Yeah.
But A.D. Bryant and Lindy West wrote this series together, so we don't really know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I am so excited about Annie getting out there as a writer and sort of becoming the, like, fat activist blogger that, you know, that sort of empowers other fat women and shows you that, like, you can go from sort of mousy and quiet and uncertain to powerful and confident and full of life and a person who demands to be paid attention to.
Amen.
So that's what I'm looking forward to for Annie.
I'm here for it. My prediction is that Annie will, her walking out of her job will be a blessing in disguise. I feel like it will catapult her to the top of all the blogs, the articles. I feel like she is going to make a name for herself and she will become Gabe's competition.
Ooh, nice.
Yep. I love that.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. We had so much fun. I promise you guys, this has been the best panel I've been on. And I'm so sad
really
to
insightful.
Leave.
Okay, so and we all have to come back.
We're back for season two.
We are back for season two.
And where can we find you guys? Yasmin.
You can find me on all social media at Yasmin Tanres.
I'm at Janine Doyon.
I'm at Nikki Bailey _.
And I'm at Angel Taylor _. Thank you guys for watching.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.